This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Bon Bon.
Yes,
Bon
sir.
Bon.
How are you tonight, Drew?
It's not James Bon, that's Bon
right.
Bon.
That's right, that's right.
Thomas Giuseppe Vincenzo Giuseppe Bonvissuto.
There you go.
I got it a little flip around there for a second, but I pulled it around.
There you go.
All right. So we're on an open show tonight,
yes,
right?
Yes, we are. We want people to call in.
All right. And so tonight is an open show. That means you get to call in, ask the questions, lead the direction of this conversation. We can talk about anything you want to. We can talk about estate planning or income taxes or insurances or 401ks, IRAs, you know, anything. I was at an ESOP seminar today. Mm-hmm. So, you know, business owners selling their business to their employees and why it's such a strategic strategy. And so there's great incentive for the employees, and it's also a great tax incentive for the owner of the company, and why that is such a fantastic strategy. So, you know, our firm is designed to help clients in any area of personal finance.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. And we're fee only. We're we're all highly educated, dual credentials, most everyone in the firm. And if they're not, they're headed for a dual credential.
That's right.
You know, CPA, CFP, yourself, CFA, CFP, CHFC. You have three.
Yep.
You know, you're like Bender. He's got CPA, CFP, MBA, you know, and so forth. But that's the concept. The concept is that our firm is dedicated to education, experience, credentials, and working independent as fee-only advisors, and be able to address any topic of personal finances with the least amount of conflict in the advice that we give. No, nobody can be conflict-free, but we try to minimize that by not taking commissions, not taking referral fees, you know, and limiting any kind of conflict that we might have.
Yeah, looking at things comprehensively, holistically. We talk about it being like a physician. And, you know, if necessary, bring in an expert. If there's an area like we need an attorney to help with drafting estate documents or things like that.
And we work with all kinds of clients. We work with clients that are small, and we work with clients that are medium-sized, and we work with clients that are extremely wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we work the whole gamut because we have teams of advisors that do all kinds of different types of work for different types of clients.
Oh, yeah. We've got folks that have come out of college and have student loan debt, or parents are thinking of sending their kids to college and trying to figure out how to plan for that. So it's not just retirees. It's
a lot really of our clients are retirees, and then we have a lot of business owners that are making a lot of money, and their businesses are worth a lot, and they want to know how to minimize the estate and income tax exposure that they have. And those are important questions that a business owner should be thinking about in today's world, especially one of the presidential candidates is talking about lowering the estate tax again down to $3.5 million or $3 million and bring the rate up to as high as 65%. Yeah. That's just ungodly in my mind. You know, the whole estate tax, you know, inheritance tax and estate tax, to me, I absolutely despise.
Right.
Taking money from a family when somebody dies.
Yeah, and you said lower the estate tax, but what you meant is the lower the estate tax
exemption
level.
So actually,
actually increasing
the
not
actual
only the rate,
tax,
but also so even if she doesn't even change, I said who it was. Yeah, change the rates, but it's gonna change people that are being affected by it. And
absolutely.
So there's been a lot of estate planning over the last several decade or so since some of the changes went in place based on the current numbers. Boy, it's just going to throw things into a tizzy if people have to redo their structures around the new rates and new levels.
Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 is the way you can call in and ask any questions you want about personal finances. There is no area of personal finances, whatever it is, we'll do our best to help you with it. And I think we've demonstrated over the years that we've been doing this show back in the 90s and then came back again in 2007 and started to redo the show again. I think we've demonstrated over that period of time that there's no area of personal finance that we cannot address. That's what a professional advisor should do, is they should be a comprehensive advisor. And so if you have a question, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask your question. So nobody's calling in yet, so we might as well just continue to ramble on as we have here.
Well, what'd you learn today at the ESOP seminar?
Well,
what was any kind of takeaways from that that, you know, people might be surprised to know about ESOPs? And what is an ESOP?
Well, an ESOP is where a business owner sells their business to their employees. Not totally. They could sell 5% of the company, or they could sell 100%, or anything in between. It's totally irrelevant, and the employees don't actually get the company. They just get an account that participates in the ownership of the company, because the ESOP owns the company, not the employees.
Right.
And there is incredible income tax benefits for an owner of the company to consider an ESOP, and it is also a great strategy for increasing productivity and the honesty of the employees, because they feel like they're participating in it. And the statistics are in. I mean, they've been doing ESOPs for almost 50 years now, and it's proven, the statistics are proven, that people in ESOPs have lower workers' comp, higher productivity, more satisfied employees, and the list goes on.
Right.
You know, that you see incredible amounts of reduction in theft from a company when all the employees feel that if somebody takes something from the company, they're not just taking it from that
Mike's on.
Sits in that office, they're taking it from me.
Right.
And I'm not going to sit back for the, you know, and take that. So you tend to see a lot of advantages in ESOPs, and they're not for everyone, but there's an incredible component. If you're looking to sell your company, that it should be something that should be considered with somebody that truly understands the matter and looks at the big comprehensive picture. Let's go to Keith in Glen Burnie real quick. Keith,
yes.
How can we help you? How can we help you, Keith?
I'd like to talk about Social Security, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm married. Single family income is mine. My wife's been a stay-at-home mom all her life. I'm 56. She's 4 years older than I am.
Okay.
And I was wondering, what's the best time for her to collect Social Security, since she really has never worked, so she doesn't meet the credit criteria you need for Social Security?
She does not.
Right.
So if she does not, she can't even begin the claim until you actually retire on the Social Security system, and only then can she claim. So if you claim at 62, she can start claiming at 66. If you claim at 66, she can claim at 70. If you claim at 70, she can claim at 74. She can't claim at all until you claim, if she doesn't have her own account.
Got it. What do you think makes more sense if I were to, say, retire at 62 or 3?
Well, if you're financially able to retire at 62 or 63, I'd say great, but most people aren't. Most people need to wait until they're 65 or 66 to get their Social Security up and to get into Medicare age. But I don't know what your numbers are like, and a lot of people, even if they're able to retire at 62, we're having them wait until they're 66 or 70 to take their Social Security anyway. I got to run, Keith, but it's a great question. Every Social Security question like that is dependent on the individual situation. Right now, I got to go to traffic. I'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. Personal finances.
You're out.
Major area of stress due to the increasing complexities of the global economy. Personal financial management is a comprehensive approach to combating these issues, and the financial physical is the first step. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. The financial physical begins with an objective analysis of your personal finances and ends with a plan to help achieve your goals. Experience the difference of the financial physical and learn how personal financial management can revolutionize your financial well-being. To learn more about the financial physical and the other services we offer, call us at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-7283. Or the easy way to remember that, 410-823-SAVE. Or visit us online at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com. You need help organizing your financial life? Have you thought about what retirement looks like when you go beyond just the numbers? The financial physical is the first step in working together to organize your personal finances and your goals. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent, fee-only firm. Call today to schedule your financial physical and experience the difference. Learn at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com. Or 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. Are you okay, Chris? Sure. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight. It's your chance to call in and be the guest, your chance to ask your questions, anything you want. There is nobody online. Obviously, we're struggling to get
excitement. Well, you know what? Everybody's excited about the Cubs and the Indians. They're gearing up. They were up too late last night, so they're taking a little nap before the game tonight. They want to watch the game.
Yeah, I guess. And, yeah. You know, it should be good. You know, somebody's going to be happy after 50 or 100 years, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's good for baseball, I think, you know. But, you know, maybe we can go back to Keith for a second because his question was an interesting one, and you said something right at the end that I'm not sure people picked up on, is that, you know, we have some general kind of philosophies around Social Security claiming strategies. We even use a technology that can kind of give you some
ideas. A Social Security maximizer.
A maximizer, exactly, that, you know, can kind of help give some guidance. But it's really, as you said at the break there, it's an individual situation because even the maximizers, they just say, well, you put in all your earnings records, and how do you get the most out of Social Security in terms of dollars, assuming you live? You know, I always tell clients when they come in, if you tell me how the story ends, I'll tell you what to do now, you know, because that's the challenge.
That's right.
And so there's a lot of assumptions that go into this data, and just you change a number here or there, and you get dramatically different responses. So that's one element of it. But there's so many other things. As we look at clients comprehensively, that go into these decisions, especially with the way Social Security is being taxed, the way Medicare premiums and things are being factored in. You know, just so many things, life expectancies, long-term care, you know, you name it, they're all kind of go together.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely.
So.
And that's why, you know, you can give general advice. You can give Keith some assistance and know that his wife can't claim until he claims, and if he claims at 62, she can start, but then he has to take a discount. You can tell him all those things, but you can't tell him when he should start taking it because you don't know all the facts. And even if you tried to lay them all out here for us on the radio, it wouldn't work because you can't. You got to really absorb in the information and look at it. You need to run one of those maximizers just to see if there's something you're missing, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then you can come back and say, based on all this, this looks like the best way to go.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, like you said, a lot of times nowadays we are recommending folks wait because of the increases that they're getting year to year. It's generally
around
8%. People are living longer, so it's an inflation hedge. It's a hedge against future spending issues and the like. But you look at folks that have health issues. I remember looking at my folks, and this is, you know, 20 years ago, and I looked at my parents, and I said, no, you're not going to make it that long. You're not going to make it that long. Let's start claiming at 62. My dad passed at 67. You know, the numbers worked.
Right.
You know, I made an educated guess based on family history and said, okay. But, you know, it's a hard thing to do, and there's a lot of assumptions that go into these things.
There are a lot of assumptions that go into them. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask your question, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in. You get to be the guest. You get to ask the questions, and then we can take it from there. And we have one caller online, so there's plenty of room for others. 410-922-6680. Pete in Glen Burnie. Pete, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question concerning the election. Do you have any thoughts about when either one of the candidates win, which way they would affect the stock market, perhaps?
Well, here's what I've told many a person, Pete. Presidents don't matter to the stock market other than for an hour a week. You know, some little hype here and there. Markets go up, markets go down. Let me give you some history on this, okay? Here comes Ronald Reagan, and he's got all these wonderful, and Wall Street loved him and so forth. Ronald Reagan comes into office, and for the first week, I think it was, the stock market went up. And then after that, it dropped by over 35% for the next 2 years until
wow.
it finally recovered and went higher. In 2009, okay, 2008, Barack
right.
Obama is elected president. And his qualifications were zero. Wall Street said this guy could be a disaster. And he came into office. And since the, you know, like he came into office and the market went down like a week or two after he was
elected. In January 20th, right?
Because,
the market continued to go down until
but you had
yeah,
that,
March
you had
of,
that first,
the 6th.
You had that first final decline into like the first 2 weeks of November
mm-hmm.
after the election.
Right.
Then the market rallied.
Right.
And then around January, it went down again.
Another dip. Uh-huh.
And then yeah. March 9th was the end.
Yep.
So 2 months into his presidency, the stock market stopped going down and has done nothing but go up every year since he was elected. Now,
amazing.
I mean, you know, Bill Clinton came into office and he was hell-bent on bringing national health care into the country, at least his partner was. and the stock market said, if this guy does this, this is going to be a disaster. And
wow.
yet, when he came into office, the stock market did nothing but go up for the first 7 years of his presidency.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
markets are all about central bankers. Central bankers are important. Jimmy Carter seemed to be an awful president, but Jimmy Carter did one of the greatest things this country's ever seen. He appointed Paul Volcker to the Federal Reserve, who broke the back of inflation and helped carve the way or pave the way for Nixon or for Reagan's reforms to come in.
And the greatest bull market.
And drove the greatest bull market, driving interest rates down for 30 solid years after Volcker came in office.
Yep.
Wow.
And Ronald Reagan made a mistake pointing Greenspan in, and Greenspan, as a central banker, put the Greenspan put, as they call it, out there, and ultimately, after 20 years of his policies, blew the stock market up in 2008. It wasn't George Bush. Stupid guy just had to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Just like Barack Obama happened to be in the right place at the right time. Bill Clinton
here we go, Paul.
In the right place at the right time. Presidents don't matter. I don't care what you say. Our country was set up so our president would not be all that powerful. He has plenty of power, but it's Congress, judiciary, and the president. And
right, he's going to be hot in about 10 seconds.
Supreme Court, in my opinion, is the critical issue because Democrats have been destroying the essence of why the Supreme Court should just interpret the law. They should not make the law.
Right.
That is so critical, and we cannot allow the Supreme Court to be destroyed as Democrats have been doing during terms in office and appointments that they've made. Anyway.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. One quickie, do you think with the low interest environment that we're in that it really doesn't make too much difference who wins the election, do you think? Or
I think the stock market's going to be in a rocky road a little bit for at least the next few years until we can figure out where the heck things are going. You've got a lot of weird things going on out there, Pete.
Really?
Central bankers have been making a lot of weird decisions. I got to run, all right?
Thank you so much.
Take care, Pete. All right, we got to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Money Rich Well. And we're back dreaming. I don't know what we're dreaming about. We're dreaming. Maybe we're dreaming we had good presidential candidates to vote for.
That would be a good
dream. That would be a good thing, you know? I mean, you know, I like to say that we've got the choice between a bombastic fool and an evil person.
Uh-huh.
Now, which do you prefer? And it really comes down to your base. What's your base? You know, the Republican base is going to go this way. The Democratic base is going to go this way. That's what it's all about, you know? Yeah. And people go in there and say, I want to vote for the best candidate. You know, you don't understand the two-party political system. I wished it weren't a two-party political system, but it is.
Right.
And the
right.
base is going to drive everything. You vote for a Democrat, and you're bound to get A, B, C, and D. You vote for a Republican, you're bound to get A, B, C, and D from them. You know, it's just, it's all about base.
Yep.
Look at Hillary's making deals with Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Barack and Michelle, et cetera, and there's different people she's making deals with. She's going to have to deal with their deals that she's made. Trump's sort of making deals. Who knows what Trump's doing?
Right, right.
He's just a bombastic fool. Anyway, we're going back to an open show. 410-922-6680 if you want to call and ask a question. 410-922-6680. Andy in Woodbine. Andy, how can we help you?
Hey, Salas, I wanted to ask you, are you following any of these cannabis stocks with this legislation coming up where I think eight states are going to are voting to legalize it?
I've seen people make a lot of money with some of those cannabis stocks. No, but I'm not following them. I mean, it's just not something that I would get excited about. It's just not my nature to like that kind of a stock.
Right.
But I'm sure you can make a lot of money in them.
Yeah, and there's
you're stocks. You're not excited about making money?
I like to make money, but I have my principles as to how I want to do it. And, you know, I'm not against cannabis stocks in any way, shape, or form. But if you've got one and you like it and you think it's a good deal, then, you know, but I don't follow it at all, Andy. I'm sorry.
Oh, I got you. I was just thinking, you know, kind of like maybe Prohibition, when Prohibition ended, same principle here with these cannabis.
If you pick the winner, my friend, I'm sure that there's going to be a powerhouse cannabis stock someday in the future. There's going to be the Philip Morris of cannabis. There's going to be whatever, you know, the Seagrams of cannabis or whatever. And if you can pick it, it's going to be a great investment for you long term. Because there's no doubt the whole country is going to go legalize marijuana. There's no doubt about that in my mind. Unless something weird happened, they came out and said cannabis causes whatever or, there's no doubt marijuana is going to become legalized in this country.
Yeah, that was my thought, too. I mean, the governments are so broke that they need some new tax revenue. So I would think that they've got to. You know, they'll be able to just clean house tax and, you know.
Well, there's another reason for it, too, Andy. It's not only just the revenue, but it also eliminates a criminal element. You know, anytime you can take something away from the black market and make it legal, you immediately impact the gangs and the drug gangs and, you know, drug leaders. And so that's what sort of, you know, Tom here, he's from New York City.
That's right.
And he'll tell you, you know, when they took away this from the mob or that from the mob, it weakened the mob. And, so anytime you took different things away from them, so legalizing marijuana is going to take a big chunk of change away from illegal people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I agree with you, but, you know, it's just not something that I would follow or do. It's just the way I am.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
well,
yeah. I mean, all right, so you have no opinion on any cannabis stocks whatsoever.
No, not at all.
Well, the only problem is that the symbol P-O-T was already taken by a different company.
Was that potash?
Potash.
Well, potash is necessary to grow CAN, you know. Anyway, Andy, you take care. Good call. See ya. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask a question, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question and lead the direction of this conversation, we've gone from Social Security to the election to cannabis,
right.
I mean, where do we go next?
Well,
I don't know.
Because of the election, people are going to cannabis.
Yeah, there you go.
Because they want to be dreaming.
I told Charlie I'd give him a shout-out. So shout-out to Charlie.
Yeah, I guess shout-out to Charlie.
He's driving home, probably,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, you know, it is It is interesting. I was actually talking to somebody this whole cannabis topic, and you know, that you're seeing medicinal purposes, and he was talking about his 85-year-old father that was putting a balm on that his brother that lives in Colorado makes from it, and that, you know, they didn't tell his father what he was doing, and he said he had like kind of wow, I really feel good. And he didn't know what he had on him. So they saw some benefits of it. You know?
Yeah, I was talking to a young associate, a former associate of ours, who's back in town from the country of Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working on, you know, an oil that's similar in nature.
Yep.
And it causes, you know, it's not necessarily cannabis, but it's hemp.
Right.
And the properties that it has and so forth. All right,
yep.
Let me go to another caller before our next break. Dave in Colombia, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. I just got a letter about I'm eligible for a pension buyout, and I'm 58, and I was wondering if there's a rule of thumb or something for calculating whether I should take it or not.
Yeah, well, you have to do a present value calculation, Dave, so you want to take your payout time frame is to like 90 years of age. Your interest rate, discount is about 3% that you want to do. And then you take that out and see what the present value of what you could get from the monthly is compared to the lump sum they're offering you today. You also have to look at the monthly they'll offer you at 62 and 65 compared to the lump sum and the monthly they're offering you today. Do not underestimate what waiting 3 years or 7 years might do to taking it today. So you need all three of those. You need to do present value calculations on all three of them, comparing it back to the lump sum they're offering you today, and then you can make a decision whether it's a good thing for you or not. But this is very common. We're seeing this a lot. Companies want to get rid of employees like you who haven't been with the company for many years, but you have some monthly guarantee on the book with them.
Okay. Now, do they come back again in a couple of years, or is this because it says this is a limited time?
Well, they're all going to say that, Dave.
Yeah, they're trying to incent you and get you excited about taking it because they're trying to get you off the rolls because every employee is costing them money to be in the plan, and you're a liability to them.
But so. they could not. There is the probability they're not going to reoffer a lump sum in
sure.
the future.
Yeah.
You always have to expect that. But if my present value for the next 3 years or 7 years is negative, I need to think hard before I take that lump sum of money. So, you got some calculations to do. It's very easy to do. And then there's some subjective things you also have to think about, too. You have to think about, well, if I take the monthly in the future, my children aren't going to get anything, and, you know, and all these other different subjective things that you have to think about. And, you know, you may be already set. You may already have enough income and enough assets to take care of your retirement. This is just gravy. I'm just going to take it and call it a day.
Yeah.
You know?
It has to, once again, it has to fit into your total plan and everything that you have and everything that's going on. And as well as your company, I mean, there is the PBGC, which protects pensions to some degree, but the stability of your company, how well-funded their plan is, there's a lot of factors that go into the decision.
All right, Dave?
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
All right, buddy, you take care. You know, you're seeing that a lot, Tom. You're seeing a lot of these lump sum offers coming in to people coming and asking us, what should we do?
Yep.
Sometimes we take it, sometimes we wait, and so forth. Anyway, I've got to take a pause right now, and we'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. And we're back. Money, riches, and wealth. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. And we've got a couple callers online. If you want to call in, we probably could get at least one more call in before the end of this show. Mike in Towson, how can we help you?
I just wanted to discuss, Drew, with the election coming up next week. Let's say Trump wins, just for sake of discussion.
Is this the great economist, Mike?
Yes, it is.
Maybe you should answer this question for me.
Well, I'm just going to posit it, and then you can tell me what you think.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, he's talking about building up the military, since it's been cut down to World War I on the Navy.
Right.
He's been talking about bringing a couple trillion back from overseas by reducing the capital gains tax to 15%.
Right.
Don't know if he'll do it, but he's talking about it. If he does everything he says he's going to do, we're going to have a GDP of 5%.
Well, you know, whether that's true or not, like I was telling the earlier caller, Pete, don't put a lot of hope into presidents. Central bankers are far more important. And the stock market's been up for what, Tom? 7 years in a row, 8 years, 7 years, and it's almost at the all-time historic move without a 20% correction.
Right.
Never has happened in history but once, and that was the 1920s, if I'm not mistaken.
No, not a good period.
So, you know, you just have to realize central bankers have been on an incredible splurge of liquidity. And I don't care what a president does. I don't care what his policies are. You got a market that central banks have poured unprecedented liquidity into. And if Janet Yellen goes on an austerity program, no matter what a president does, President Hillary, President Donald, it doesn't matter. She will destroy the stock market for a period of time, whether it's a week or a month.
Doesn't the next incoming president get to pick the head of the Federal Reserve?
Not until, what is that, Tom? It's 2018 or 17?
Well, you know, he said he was going to kick her out, didn't he?
He did.
Well, I always was under the impression they served at the pleasure of the president.
No. They have four-year terms, and then at the end of 4 years, the president can either keep them or take them out. So I got to run, Mike. Good call. Thank you. And Gene in Columbia, how can we help you?
Well, not to make it too political, but I can't vote for a guy who won't let you see his tax returns.
Well, personally, I don't think that any president should be required to show their tax return, but you go ahead and ask your question.
All right. The question has to do, both my wife and I are past full retirement. We're getting whatever we're getting from Social Security retirement, and we're both working. This will probably be our last calendar year of actual work. My wife works for me, so I have the opportunity to pay her as little or as much as I want. And so the question is, I know they have the 35-year look back. Does that still readjust itself once you're already receiving?
Yes.
And past full retirement? So, for instance, if I pay her $40,000.
Correct.
Say it replaces a $25,000 years ago.
Right.
Does that make much of a difference as opposed to whether I pay her $50 to replace a $25,000?
Well, you know, there's not going to be a lot of difference between a $40 and a $50. But there would be a big difference between a 10 and a 50, you know, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, Social Security is funny. The penultimate amount to pay an employee that's like a spouse of yours and get the maximum amount of Social Security for the amount you put in is around $50,000. If you understand how Social Security works and, you know, and what you're going to get when you make that much money, mm-hmm. et cetera, because people who make less money in Social, you know, in paying into Social Security get more benefit than the one that pays more percentage payout than the one who makes the maximum. The one who makes the maximum gets the largest dollar amount,
right.
But the percentage of what they paid in is dramatically lower.
Right.
And well, you're
only getting $1,400 a month before the Medicare comes out, Medicaid.
Yeah.
Comes out.
But, so, yes, if you pay her more and one of her past 35s is less in an inflation-adjusted number,
right,
then she will get a boost automatic. You don't have to ask for it. She will get a boost even if you're already collecting.
Do they still have that rule as far as the $170,000 AGI for the previous year?
That's the Medicare Part B rule.
Right, yeah, because we were hit with that all during this year. In other words, each one of us was paying.
Yes, they're looking at
120 or 104. We were paying almost 300 each.
Yeah, they're going to look at your 2015 tax return to determine what your 2017 Medicare Part B premium is going to be. And if you're $1 over the limit, so if it's 170, if you're $170,001. You will pay a lot of extra money. We had a client that was $76 over a limit, and it cost them $2,000 a year because their income tax return was $76 over the limit. I got to run, Gene. I got to pick up another caller. Oops, I can't seem to dump that. Can you take care of that for me? All right. Thank you there, Chris. And Mark in Bel Air, how can we help you?
Yeah, Drew, I have Pepco stock.
Yep.
Or I had, I guess, whatever it's called now, but Exelon took over and all that. And what they did was they sent me a letter saying that, you know, I had to cash out for that stock. Basically, you know, I've always, it's not a lot of stock, but I've always let the dividends roll over and
purchase
more stock. Do I have to sell out? Or
yes.
Can I just hold on until Exelon?
They did a cash buyout, didn't they, Tom?
Yeah, I was trying to remember. They did.
Yeah, so if they're doing it, you don't have a choice. It's a done deal. If you don't cash out, your money, your stock's just going to sit there doing nothing, period. And, you know, that's it. And, you know, there's to be foolish to do that. So you have to sell if you want any opportunity to continue to benefit from that investment.
Do you have it held at a broker, or where is it held? Do you have physical?
No, my dad left it to me.
He has it in a drip program with Pepco.
Directly with Pepco?
Yeah, because he said he's doing dividend reinvestment, mm-hmm. but he could be doing it at a broker. But I'm assuming you're doing that with the transfer agent from Pepco in a drip, a dividend reinvestment program.
Yeah, it's a dividend reinvestment program.
Right.
I don't know if I have a special,
It's with the transfer agent. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. like Computer Shares or American Stock Transfer or somebody like that, or
so
Wells
in
Fargo.
In other words, it's not like, I'm sorry, it's not like I can hold out and say,
no.
Okay, now I want Exelon stock for what I had.
I mean,
Pepco.
You can, but you're just going to hurt yourself to do it.
Really?
Yeah, because you're going to get nothing for your Pepco stock, and it's just going to be sitting there.
Yeah, they'll just wait until it's worth nothing, and then, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so you just want to take the cash when they give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You will have to pay some capital gains tax, possibly, so make sure you clearly understand what your cost basis is before you get to your tax return next year.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right, buddy. You take care.
Have a good night.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at the last minute of the show. And so this is the last show before the election next week. You know, actually, I went and voted early.
Did you?
And I really, you know, I felt bad when I was voting early because there were lots of people that were voting early.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, there was something about it that I just didn't like. Even though I voted early, I just felt like this isn't right. Why are we allowed to vote over, you know, it was a week and a half before
mm-hmm.
the election.
Mm-hmm.
And people were voting on October 17th. You know, and if something came out and I wanted to change my mind,
It's already done.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, anyway, I just didn't like it. But anyway, the point of the matter is that, you know, whatever you believe in, you know, realize that we're in a two-party political system, and you have to determine not who's the best person. You have to determine what are the things most important to me. You know, so when somebody says this is important and this is important and this is important, then you vote this way. And if you think this is important, this is important, this is important, you vote this way.
Yep.
Regardless if you like the person or not. It's totally irrelevant in today's two-party political system, unfortunately, but it's just the way that it is.
That's right.
Anyway, we've got to run. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.